Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Yuma Chaf Aleph. We're holding six lines from the top of the Amid. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, B'sha'osh Yisrael, Oilin L'Regel, when Yisrael will go up to the Beis HaMikdash, Aliyah L'Regel, Oimdin Tzufin, such large crowds that they would stand so crowded together, U'mishtachavim Revachim. However, when it came time to bow down, there would be plenty of space for everybody. The area would just expand on them, because Beis HaMikdash was a bubble of a miraculous existence, and anything spiritual can contain unlimited capacity. Let's see Rashi inside. It's about 3-4 lines up from what we're holding in the Gemara. Rashi divar maschal tzfufim, lashon tzaf. Rashi said tzfufim comes from the word tzaf, floating. Meroiva am, due to the large crowds, hayu nitchakim ish biachiv, they would squish together. Ve'enli mokim lintois al tzidai l'kan l'kan. He can't turn to either side. V'zokiv kikur, and he's straight up like a beam. V'af raglov nitalim me'al haaretz, and even his legs are lifted off the ground. So it would be crowded so close together, and some of them will be lifted off the ground, supported on both sides by the crowd. So that's how crowded it was, and still, mishtachvim revachim, ukishem mishtachvim v'noiflim. When they bow down, nasalem neis v'amokim marachiv, and suddenly there's lots of space. Atsheish b'neim arba amis, to the extent that there's four amis between one person and the next. Whether Rashi means four amis space between people, or in total, a person would have four amis for himself. Shelo yishma ish vidoi shel chaveroi shelo yikolim. This is applied throughout the year, Yom Tovim especially, says Rashi, on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol, during his vidoi, would say the shem of Hashem, fnei Hashem, titoru, everybody would bow down. And they would express their own remorse, their own vidui to Hashem. They want to give them their space to allow for privacy, for discretion, so that one person doesn't overhear what the other fellow is saying. Hashem made this nes that there should be plenty of space, the ground stretched and allowed for each person to have his own private space. Continues the Gemara. And they would actually spill over to the area, to the 11 Amma area, Achorei Beis HaKaparis, which was behind the Beis HaKaparis, Kodesh HaKadoshim. So in the Azara, we have the Heichal structure with the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Azara area actually surrounds that whole structure as well. So entering the Azara from east, from Mizrach, you have the Ezra Sistral, Ezra Kehanim, the Mizbeach area. Then you have the Heichal Kodesh Kedoshim structure, but the Azara actually surrounds that area. It wasn't really commonly used, but now when there were so many people, they would spill over into the areas beside and behind the Kodesh Kedoshim, the 11 Amma between the Kodesh Kedoshim wall and the Azara wall. V'nimshach an achas esri Amma, achayrei beis hakaparis. That's how far the crowd would spill over. Says the Gemara, Maiko Amar. What does he mean to say? And Rashi learns, on the one hand, he's saying that when they bow, suddenly there's lots of space, lots of room, mishtachvim urvachim. So why is it that they have to spill over to the area behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why was that necessary? There was plenty of room in the area before, in front of the Eichel. Maiko Amar. Hachi Amar. This is what he meant to say. Af al pi shenimshachim achas esrei amma acharei hakaparis ve'omdim tzfufin. What he meant was that the crowds were so large and great that they would actually have to spill over to the area behind the Heichal, behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And even then, the area can barely contain everybody. They would be standing tzfufin, squished together, crowded together, as though they were floating, as we explained earlier. So although the whole area is completely stacked, completely full, kishem yishtachvin, when it came time for hishtachavoyu, which needed to be done facing the entrance of the Heichal, so everybody had to come back to the area in front of the Heichal. Mishtachvin v'rachim, they can come back, there's plenty of space, and they can bow down, with each person having his own space. V'ze echad mi'asar nisim, shenasu v'miglash. This was actually one of the 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. This none, as we learn in Mishnah Perkei Avos, which gives us a list of all 10. Asor nisim nasu Beis HaMikdash. The following 10 nisim occurred regularly in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo yipila isha mireach b'sar HaKodesh. Generally speaking, when an isha is expecting and she smells some type of a smell, some scent coming from meat or whatever, and she has a desire for it, it's dangerous to withhold it from her. She can miscarry. In the Beis HaMikdash, this was a constant thing. There was a scent wafting about from the Mizbeach, from the Basar, which was Kachem, and she couldn't partake in that. So perhaps she would have a desire which would endanger her. Hashem Erenes, Lo Yipila, Isha, and Isha never miscarried as a result of the Reyach. Sara Kodesh. That's number one. Number two, V'li Yisriach Basar HaKodesh Mo'ilam. It never happened that the Basar of Kachem, despite the fact that it sometimes would stick around for 2 days, Kachem Kalam could be eaten for 2 days and a night, and the heat of summer, no refrigeration, V'li Yisriach Basar HaKodesh Mo'ilam, never spoiled. V'li Nira Zvuv, never was a fly spotted in the area in the Azorah where they would cut up the karbanis. That was a nice. V'lo ira keri, the Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim, it never happened that a Kohen Gadol experienced a keri tuma on Yom Kippur, which would reflect badly on himself and on Klal Yisrael, who he's serving, who he's representing. V'lo nimtza psul, it never happened that they found something wrong, b'Omer, u'b'shtei alechem, u'b'lechem aponim, in the grain used for the Omer, or in the shtei alechem, u'lechem aponim, as Rashi points out. This was very important because they wouldn't have a backup if something goes wrong with the Omer Shtei Alechem Lechem Aponim. Why? Omer was cut the night before. They would only cut what they needed for the next day's mincha. If something goes wrong, there's no replacement. Shtei Alechem, which is on Yom Tov, on Shavuos, if it becomes pasul, we can't go ahead and bake new ones. Shtei Alechem was meant to be baked before Yom Tov. The same thing with Lechem Aponim. Once Shabbos comes, if something goes wrong with this lechem upon him, it's a lost opportunity. This was a nace, and nothing ever went wrong with him. Continues the Mishnah, Oindim tzfufim, they would stand crowded, u'mishtachim rachim, and bow with plenty of space. V'lo yizik nochash v'akra b'Yushalayim me'olam. It never happened that a snake or scorpion inflicted damage or harm in Yushalayim. V'lo yomar odom l'chaver, and one never turned to his friend and complained, Sar li amokim, Shalom Yerushalayim, I can't stay over in Yerushalayim, it's too crowded, Parnassah is difficult. It never happened. People were always comfortable, and Hashem provided Parnassah for those dwellers of Yerushalayim who lived on a higher spiritual plane. Hashem provided for them. They had no Parnassah concerns. Now, we realized that the last two pertain to Yerushalayim. The Mishnah began by saying, well, I have a list of 10 Nisim which occurred in Beis HaMikdash. The last two were not Beis HaMikdash related. Pasach HaMikdash. So the Mishnah began 10 Nisim in the Mikdash, V'sim Yerushalayim, concluded with two which were directed at Yerushalayim and not at the Beis HaMikdash. So we're missing two from the list. Ika Tarti Achronaisa B'Mikdash. We actually have two more that were not listed here, which occurred in the Mikdash, which will complete the list of 10 Nisim, the Sanya Me'ilim Loikavu Gishamim. Never happened that the fire on the Mizbeach would be extinguished by rains. Me'ilim Loikibu Gishamim. Eish Shal Atzim Aruch. That's number one. Number two, Va'ashan Amarucha. The smoke rising from the Marucha, from the Mizbeach, would never disperse, despite the fact that there were great winds blowing. Afilu kol harucha shebo'olam, any wind in the world would not go ahead and disperse it. Boy, some nashes, boy, would come and blow in there. Ein mezizus oisim kamei, it would not affect the smoke rising from the mizbeach, which would remain in place. So we have another two nisim, which complete the list of 10 nisim in the Beis Hamikdash. Besuleka, there are no more nisim that occurred there. You only have 10 and no more. But Tani Rav Shmaya, Bikal Nevoy, in that place called Kanaboy, Shivri Kli Cheres, Nivloim Bim Kaiman. Rashi explains, the earthenware Kli, which was used to cook Achatos, for instance, needed to be broken apart on that day. You can't use it the next day. It's nicer. So it had to be broken apart. And where did we break it? In the Makam Kaddish. It's a pasuk. It has to be broken in the Azor. In the place where the carbon is eaten, that's where the Kli used to cook that carbon was broken as well. Now, imagine everybody's breaking apart their Kli Cheres, and we have heaps of trash in the Azora, which was certainly unbefitting, unbecoming. So it was a nice Kli Cheres Nivloin becoming. They would swallow into the ground and disappear. So this was another nice. Var Abai. Abai said further, Moira Venuitza. So a Oila Sa'if would be burnt completely on the Mizbech, except for some specific parts which were taken out. An appropriate part, some of the insides, the Meirah, Venoitza, different parts of the Oif would be separated and tossed away onto the floor. V'dishon Mizbech HaPnimi, the ashes, which were cleaned off the Mizbech HaPnimi, V'dishon HaMenorah, the spent wicks, the ashes from the menorah, all these items that were placed on the floor near the Mizbeach were swallowed into the floor. Nivlon bim kaiman. So we have two more nisim, Kli Cheres being swallowed, and all these items of waste, which were swallowed as well. So why is it only 10? We really have 12. Says the Gemara, but if you pay attention to the Mishnah, we had a nis regarding Oymer, Shtei Alechem, Alechem Apanim, which never became possible. Psuli, on the list of Psulim, Tlasahavu. You actually gave us three. But really, they should be converted into one, because it's really one concept. Cheshvinu b'chad, count them as one. There was no Psul occurring to any of these Kabbanis. So it's only one, instead of three. Now you have two spare. Apek Trei, Vayel Trei. Take out those two. Instead of those two, you thought there were three. They're really only one. Instead of those two, Va'ayot Rei substituted for these two, Kli Cheres being absorbed in the ground, and the other items of waste absorbed as well. For a total of 10 nisim. Says the Gemara, according to you, we don't have 10 either. Yachi, if you're going to bundle together all the psulim, Blue and Nami, when it comes to these items swallowed in the ground, there as well. Bundle them together. Trei Havu. You count them as two, Klecheres and the other items, Cheshvinuk b'chad, count them as one, because it's one concept. All these items of waste got swallowed in the ground. It's one item, one S. Chosrulu, so now you're down to nine. You're missing one. Yekenam yachriti, we have another one to round off the number to 10. Domer Shimon Levi. Neis gadol, hoya nasa b'lechem apan. It was a great neis, which was observed by lechem apanim. Silukai, when they removed the bread from the shulchan, it was just as warm and steaming, kisidure, as it when it was placed there. Shenemar losum lechem choyim b'yamilok choyim. On the day that you took it off, it was still choyim, it was still warm and steaming. This is a neis, and this is the last item, the last neis, number 10 on the list. V'suleka, you have no more nisim that occurred in Beis HaMikdash. V'amar Rav Levi, the following thing, we have it as a tradition from our avos that the place on which the oren rested wasn't counted into the floor space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It didn't take up any space. It says Rashi, five lines from the bottom, Mokoim oroin einoi min amida. Einoi toifes lamait mimidas ha'achalal shel bayis klum. It doesn't diminish any of the space. It doesn't take up any floor space. The sanya, oroin shos amosh. Yesh loy eser amos aver kol ruach. If you measure from the oroin to the wall, you have 10 amos. On this side, measure on that side to the wall, another 10 amos. although the Aron was placed in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you still could measure 10 amis on either side, from Aron to wall. But the problem is, the entire area was only 20 by 20 amis. Shenemar lefnei advir esrim amo erech ve'esrim amo erechav. So how could it be that even after placing the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which to begin with was only 20 by 20, you can count 10 from each side of the Aron to the wall? Apparently the Aron itself did not take up any space. Nimtza she'in mokim ha'Aron ma'id klum. Didn't take away any of the space, any of the halal. So that was an ace. Getting back to the Gemara, v'amar v'noi, another nace. V'amar v'noi v'ashmo, kruvim. B'neis hayo aimdin. The kruvim here is a reference to the kruvim which were introduced by Shlomo HaMelech. So these were figures positioned on the floor alongside the Aron. Now, the Pasuk describes them as having wings 5 amas in length. So each kruv had 5 amma wings. So 5 and 5 times 2 gives you 20. Now the entire area was only 20 amas wide, as we just said. So how could the Kodesh HaKadoshim contain 2 kruvim? The Kodesh HaKadoshim was only 20 amas. Contains 2 figures. Each one has 2 wings, each wing being 5 amas in length. 5, 5, 5, 5 is 20. What about the actual body of the figure, which was situated in between those wings? The kruvim b'neis hayu aimdin. They existed miraculously. They didn't take up any space. So we have 2 examples of nisim, which were constant nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. And why weren't they listed in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos? Says the Gemara, nisi de beroi kachashiv. We only refer to nisim which were outside and visible. Everybody could see those nisim. No fly in the Beis HaMikdashim. Fire of the Mizbeach not going out. Was exterior nisim. Nisi de gavoi like a chashav. However, the nisim which took place inside, far from public view, that was not considered in this list. Certainly there were many nisim that occurred, but we're speaking about nisim which everybody saw and experienced. Yachi, if that's the case, that we don't count nisim that wasn't visible, lechem aponim nami, nisi de gavayu. This nace, number 10, lechem aponim nace, a warmth and steaming bread, that wasn't seen outside, that was something hidden, betzina in the heichal. Says, imod lechem aponim nisi de broyu. That also was a nace which was visible. Why? De'ah morish lakish. Mai dichsiv ala shulchan hator. Pasuk says, he meant to place lechem aponim on the shulchan which is tor. Evidently, it can become tummy. If you need to warn against tumah. Mechlal shu tummy. Apparently, it has potential tumah. Really? How could a shulchan become tummy? Kli eita asul nachasu. Rashi explains that any wooden utensil will carry potential tumah, will be mekabel tumah if it's not too large in size. It's mobile, it's portable. Because we compare it to a sack, and just as a sack can be transported filled or empty, a kli, in order for it to become tummy, has to have that quality. It has to be portable. But if it's a large size kli, which can contain 40 sa'ah, like a mikvah, that's not called a kli, it's called a tank. It's meant to remain in place. It's a kli to usul nachasu, and it's not makabel tumah. The shulchan was this large kli which can contain this huge amount of content. It was called a kli to usul nachasu. V'chol kli to usul nachas ain't makabel tumah. Not only isn't makabel tumah on its own, v'chotitz b'pnei tumah, it can pose a chatzitza. It can block tumah from spreading from one house to the other. So it's insulated and protected from tumah. So why does the pasuk say, put the shulchan, put the lechem on the shulchan hator, make sure it's tor not tummy? It can't be mekabel tumah. Apparently, says the Gemara, Ella, you must say like this, the reason why it can have tumah is because it was moved around from time to time. El malamed shemagbin oisoy le'ele regal. It was meant to be picked up and displayed before the oile regal. V'ayim lam, they announced them, take a look at the warm, steaming bread. Ruchi baschem afnei amakim. Look how dare you are to Hashem. Shesiluka kesidurei. When the bread is removed after a week, it's still warm and fresh, just as when it was placed. Kesidurei. Shenemar losum lechem chayim b'yami lokchay. When you take it off the table, it's still warm and fresh and steaming. This shows warmth. This shows a close connection, an ongoing relationship with Hashem. Hashem supplies us and is mashpia on us constantly, like a father to a son. So since the Shulchan was meant to be picked up and displayed and moved around and transported, it can be makabel tumah. It's not called kli etzos l'nachas. And that's why the Torah has to warn against tumah by the Shulchan. Getting back to our discussion, yeah, the nais which occurred with lechem apanim on the Shulchan was visible to all. It wasn't something hidden behind closed doors, like the nais with the aron, with the kruvim. This was something displayed and advertised for all to see. And that's why it belongs on the list of the ten nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. V'sulaka, there are no more nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. We have one more. V'amar v'eishya, v'sha shebana shleim ha-Beis HaMikdash. Shleim ha-Melech built the Beis HaMikdash. Not a boy. He planted within it kol minei megadim, all types of golden fruit trees. Kol minei megadim shel zahav. V'yimoytzin perisein bizmanon. Come their season, they'd actually produce fruit, golden fruit. When the wind would come and blow, they would sway and fall off the tree. And the Gemara later tells us that the Gehanim actually used these golden fruit for parnasa. They would sell it and support themselves from it. Shenemar yirash kalavonin piryay. Levonin, the whitener, is the reference to the Beis HaMikdash, which was malbin avon yisein shal Yisrael. It would clean Yisrael from the averis. So in the Beis HaMikdash, there was this loud wind coming and rustling the fruit and shearing them off the trees. When the goyim came in to the heichal, the story of Beis HaMikdash, yavash, it dried up. It no longer produced fruit. Shenemar uferach levonan umlol, and the perach of the Beis HaMikdash was umlol was lashon of sad, of inactive. It was no longer producing. So this umlo, this unfortunate perach of the Levonin, will become rejuvenated eventually. Hashem will restore it. Nemar paroyach tifrach v'sogel afkilas v'ronin kvod alvonin nitan lo. This lasid lovoi. Hashem is going to be machziron, restore this fruit, and it says kvod alvonin nitan lo. Hashem will give the kavod that was in the Levonin Beis HaMikdash and restore it, and will again parech tifrach will bud and produce. So we have another nais, the golden fruits which were produced in the Beis HaMikdash. So why wasn't that counted amongst the nisim Beis HaMikdash? Says what is the difference? Nisi de kvi like a chashev. We didn't count for these nisim which were constant nisim, as opposed to those nisim mentioned earlier, which were recurring nisim. Every week we had a new lechem apanim. Every day there was a new fire on the mizbeach, which wasn't put out by rain. So it had that element of chiddush, of excitement. We make a shachiyon of a kimono on Neiros Chanukah, etc. Because it's a thing which is mischadish mizman lezman, has excitement, it's seasonal, it's recurring. So the point of the nisim discussed here is that we saw the constant, the chiddush of the nisim, the newness of the miracles which were happening over and over again, as opposed to the nisim which were set in place, like these golden fruit and the golden tree growing just on a regular basis there, or something kavua, and did not have that same element of chiddush and excitement. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, hashtal aslachi, now that you've come to this point, that we don't mention set and established nisim, we have another answer for the kasha, or nekruvim nami. Nisi, the kvininu, erakasha, what about the nes, the arayin, and the kruvim, which didn't take up any space? Those were constant nisim. It was just the way it was. The arayin didn't take up space. It wasn't something which was being renewed on a regular basis, and therefore didn't belong on our list. Okay, so in summary, we listed several nisim, which happened in the Mikdash, happened in Yerushalayim. We have a list of 10 in the Mikdash. Lo yipila isha, she didn't miscarry. The boss of Kashim didn't spoil. A fly was not spotted in the Beis HaMikdash. There was no carry to the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. despite the large crowds, they would have plenty of room to bow. We had the Oymer Shtelechem Lechampanam, which were never nifsal. The rains would not put out the fire of the Mizbeach. The Oshnam Aruch would not be dispersed by strong winds. And we have several things which were Nivla, Mimkaiman, was swallowed in their space, in their place, the Cheres, and etc. And we had the warmth, freshness, and steaming Lechem upon. We had an additional three Nisim which were there, but were set in place and not repetitive Nisim. The Makam Aron, Makam Kruvim, which didn't take up any place, and the golden fruit tree, which would produce fruit in the Beis HaMikdash. We had another two which were in Yerushalayim. Lehizik Nochash Va'akrov, the snake and scorpion, didn't inflict any damage. And a person would never complain. It's Sarli Amokim, She'olim B'Yerushalayim. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mar, we mentioned Va'oshan Amarocha would not be dispersed by winds. Umi Hava Oshan Amarocha? Was there then really smoke coming out of the Mizbeach? Batanya. Chamisha Dvarim Nemru Be'esh Marocha. The following five things were applied and said to describe the Esh on the Mizbeach. Five miraculous things. Number one, Revutzo Kari. The Esh on the Mizbeach appeared. It was figured like a crouched lion. This was a spiritual fire, and it appeared in that manner. Ubar Kachamo had the brightness of the sun, unlike a typical fire which is cloudy and had lots of colors. It had that brightness of the sun. V'yeshba mamash, even the flame had some tangibility to it. It wasn't just a plain flame. It felt like something, like as if it was a coal. V'yichelas lachen kiveshin had the ability to consume moist matter, just as easy as it does dry matter. It would burn things on the Mizbeach, fresh meat, etc. Ve'ena mala oshen, and would not produce any smoke. So there was no smoke at all. Kikamrina v'dehedit, when the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that the wind would not disperse the oshen coming from the Mizbeach, he meant to know that there were two elements to that fire on the Mizbeach. Number one, there was the esh that came down on Hashemayim. That was spiritual matter, and that didn't produce any smoke. And then, in addition, they would add earthly fire as well. You have to add some fire in the Mizbeach. The Hedyot, the common fire. And this fire, which was contributed by us, by the Hedyotim, that assumed physical properties, and that produced smoke, but that smoke was not dispersed. The Sanya, where we find that we had to introduce our own fire as well. It's a mitzvah for the Bnei Aaron to add fire. Why is that needed? Even though there's fire coming down from heaven. Mitzvah love him in a head. It's a mitzvah to add fire from our side of the world as well. I once heard a nice word. Although there's Shemaya coming down from Hashem to help a person along, a person can't just say, well, I'll daven for help and go to sleep. A person has to do a shtalus, add his own personal effort to endeavor to grow in Ruchnius and Abedis Hashem, and then Hashem adds the Eish Min HaShemayim, the fire, the enthusiasm which comes down from Shemayim to help him along. Continues the Gemara, Rvutzu Kari. So we describe the Eish Min HaShemayim appearing like a crouched lion. V'atanya, Omar Rabbi Chanina, Sigana Kehana. Ani Ru'isiyah, I actually saw that fire. Rvutzu Kekelef. It appeared like a crouched dog, not like a lion. Like Kasha, the answer is, it depends on. Kan b'migdash rishon, kan b'migdash sheni. During the time of the first migdash, when Yisrael were on a higher level, the fire appeared like a lion. During the second migdash, it only appeared like a kelef. Now, what is the significance? What's being symbolized here? Says the Ramah actually has a sefer called Torah Sa'ila. He explains that the Mizbeach and the fire which descended on the Mizbeach denoted the Hashpah coming down from Hashem to sustain Kal Yisrael, whether Ruchnis, Gashmias. Now, Hashem's Shefa comes down with great abundance. It's us who determine how much we're going to be Zeicha to receive. Says the Ramah, Ramesh Isselis, during the first Beis HaMikdash, when they stood higher, higher madrigas. They accepted more hashpa. A lion, as we know, has no parnasa concern. He has plenty of food available. He's the king of the jungle. So during the first place of Midrash, when they were tzaddikim, the hashpa came down in large amounts, shefa gadol, and the Eish was in a lion's figure to denote the plentiful, the plenty, and abundance of shefa and hashpa. When it comes to Midrash Sheni, when they were on the same level, and the hashpa was mitigated somewhat, so then it appeared like a kelev. The Gemara Shabbos speaks about a kelev who Hashem has rachmanos on him because his food is scarce. He's always rummaging through the garbage. He doesn't have much food available. If the Gemara says that Hashem has rachmanos and takes him 3 days to digest, so the little food that he gets lasts him for a while. So that's why the Eish during Midrash Sheni appeared like a kelev, denoting a lower level, a lower capacity of Ashpo. Says the Gemara, Midrash Sheni mi'avoi? Was it even at all a heavenly fire present during Midrash Sheni? Va'amar Shmuel bar Inya. My dechsev, what does the pasuk mean? Ve'ertzaboy ve'ikavd Amar Hashem. So it's spelled as ve'ikavd. So referring to the second base, Midrash Hashem says ve'ratzaboy ve'ikavd, I'll be honored by it. It's spelled as though you read it without a hey, vikavid, vikarina vikabda. We really read it vikabda as though it's with a hey. So why was the hey sliced away? Maishal b'chutz hey, why is it missing a hey? This is a remes. Hey is five. Eilu chamishadvarim, referring to the five things which were missing during Migdash Sheni. Eilu chamishadvarim shahoyu bein Migdash Rishon and Migdash Sheni. The five things which were present. Five miraculous phenomena which were present during the first Beis HaMikdash, which was a higher level of Kedusha, and were not there during the second Beis HaMikdash. Ve'eluhein, these are the five things. Aron v'kaparis v'kruvim, the Aron and the lid and the kruvim next on top of it, so it's all one thing, it's all one package. Eish, the spiritual fire, the Eish Min HaShemayim, was only there during the first Beis HaMikdash and not during the second. U'shchina, of course, the second Beis HaMikdash had Shchina, it means it doesn't have the same level of Shchina as the first. V'ruach HaKodesh, this is referring to Nevuah, which was not there during the second Beis HaMikdash. V'urim v'tumim. So Rashi explains, it's referring to the parchment which contained the Shem Hashem, which was placed in the Choshen. So the Choshen was there, but not the Urim v'tumim. Tosis disagrees. He says, you can't say it was missing, because then the Choshen is pasul, and the Kohen is mechusar b'gadim, he's missing the beggar. He says, it was there, but it wasn't active. Meaning you couldn't ask your Shiloh to the Urim Ritumim and get a response. So all the elements of the Choshen were present, but it didn't have the same effect. It was inactive. In any case, we have a list of five things which were present during Midrash Rishon and not Midrash Sheni. One of them is fire. This Ruchni stick of fire. So why is it that we say that the second Beis Midrash had it, but no low level, looked like a crouched caliph? Says more, Amri, the Bnei Yeshiva responded, yeah, correct. It certainly was there during second Beis HaMikdash as well. However, Siyui l'Messiah, it wouldn't really help out much. So it wouldn't help along with the consumption of the Karbanis. For that, we needed the Eish Shel Hedyot to work independently. It was there, but it was inactive. Tanu Rabban, Sheish Isheisin. There were six types of fire in this world. Yesh oicheles v'ena shoyse. You have a fire which eats but doesn't drink. It consumes solid, dry material but doesn't consume liquids. V'yesh, we have another one, shoyse v'ena cheles. It drinks, it dries up liquids but it doesn't affect solids. V'yesh oicheles v'shoyse. Eats and drinks. V'yesh oicheles lachan kiveshen. There's another fire that consumes moist material, like fresh meat, as easily as it does dry things, lachan kivation. We have another fire, v'yesh eish doicha eish. It negates, it pushes away eish. It cools off the other fire. V'yesh eish oicheles eish. Now we have the number six, which is a fire that consumes other fires, overwhelms them. Then we'll go through the list. V'yesh eish You have a fire which eats, it consumes dry, solid material, but doesn't consume liquids. Hadidan, referring to our fire, typical fire, which burns up dry and solids, but not liquids. Shoysa v'necheles, a fire that drinks, doesn't eat, the choylen. That's experienced by an ill person. He has a fever, which dries him up, makes him thirsty, but doesn't make him hungry. It doesn't affect the solid part of him, only the liquid side of him. Oycheles v'shoysa, we have a fire which eats and drinks, it consumes dry matter and liquid material. Delio, this is referring to Eliyahu HaNavi and Har HaKarmel, when he had to face off against the Nevi'a Baal. They brought their animal, and he brought his carbon. He sang down to Hashem. Hashem showed him who's boss, and suddenly a ish came down on Hashemayim, consumed everything along with the water in the ditch. So we see Hashem's fire can consume solid as it does liquid. We have a fire which consumes moist material like meat just as easily as it does dry material. The maracha, fire in the mizbeach, which would consume the karbanis, consume the dry wood, also consume the meat of the karbanis. Yesh eish doich eish. We have a fire which negated other fire, the gavriel. Gavriel, as we know, we learned in Psachim, is the sar ha'esh. He's the source of all fire. And he came down to cool off the furnace for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So this was a double nace. Not only did the furnace cool off, but who cooled it off? The Malach of Fire. As the more elaborates in Pesach and Afkifit Ches, it was a nace b'seich nace, a double miracle. So here we have the Eish, which negates another fire. That's a very spiritual thing. V'Eish, Eish HaChelis Eish. And we have a fire which consumes other fires, the Shechina. It's referring to Hashem's fire, the Amar. This was before Bria Sa'olam. Hashem conferred with the Malachim, should I create the world? And they said, no, it's not Kedai. Why would you create a man with all his faults? Hashem didn't really like the response. So he extended, so to speak, his finger amongst the Malachim, who are made of fire, and Vesarfan burnt them up. So his fire overrode and overwhelmed their fire. Let's go back to the Eish HaMarach. We learned in Pirkei Avos, Va'ash HaMarach, the smoke rising from the Mizbeach, Afilu Kol Ruach Sheba'olam Ein Mezizos Oisim Mekomei. It's unaffected by any wind. Really? Smoke rising from the Mizbeach will not be swayed in either direction? Va'amar Yitzchak Bar Avdimi B'Moitzoi Yontif Ha'achon Shel Chag. Rashi explains, we're speaking about Sukkos, Chag of Sukkos. Where the Gemara tells us, "Bechag nidoinin alamayim." That was a time when Hashem issues His verdict, His psak din, regarding next year's water supply, next year's rain season, a dry season, a wet season. That's going to be decided on Sukkos. So Motzoi Yom Tov Achon Shechag, Motzoi Yom Tov Sukkos, Hakol Tzoifin La'ashna Maroch. All would take a look at the smoke rising from the Mizbeach. Basically, this was an anemometer. This will tell them in which direction the wind is blowing at that point, which would serve as a sort of simon, as an omen for things to come. Because we've just gotten the psak din regarding next year's season, next year's weather. And the way the wind would blow at that point was indicative of things to come. So everybody takes a look at the Ashana Marach and see which way it's going. Noite klapit sofen. If it's leaning towards sofen, which means which wind is blowing, the Dorim wind, so it's blowing the Ashan towards sofen, that's good for poor people, because that would indicate a rainy season, a wet winter. Anim smechem, poor people will be very happy. Balbata matzevin. So the Anim, when they saw that, was smechem. Very happy. But the Balabatim, the owners, the farmers, the dealers, weren't too happy. Because this would indicate it's going to be a rainy season. An abundance of rain. Rain means moisture, in which case they can't hoard. They can't store much of their produce too long, and they have to sell it off. Lots of produce, price is cheap. So it's good for the aniyim, but not for that shear. Noto klape darim, they see the smoke leaning towards darim, which indicates that the ruach tzfoinis is blowing. That would have the opposite effect. That denotes a dry winter. Aniyim atzeivim. Now the poor people were sad. Ubalibat mesmeichim, and the dealers, the owners, would be pretty happy. Mipnei shegishmei shana ma'atan, because this would indicate we would have a rather dry rain season. Same nishtamin, which would allow them to hoard and store their produce and hike the prices. So it's good for them, but not good for the aniyim. Not the klapi mizrach. They see the smoke leaning towards the east, which indicates a westerly wind. Hakol smeichem, everybody's satisfied. The ruach maravis was pleasant and well-balanced. Not too much rain, not too dry. Perfect for everybody. Klapi marav, if the smoke was leaning towards marav, which indicates a wind coming from mizrach, which dries things up and brings about famine. Hakol atzeven, everybody's sad. It's no good for everybody. Apparently, the oshan hamaracha would sway and would be affected by the wind, which contravenes our Mishnah. And no wind could affect the Ashna Maruch. And says the Gemara, the Ozel v'Oslik Adikli, it would sway to and fro like a palm tree. V'Evduri, Layhava Mivdar, but it wouldn't disperse. Dispersion, Layhava Mivdar, that wouldn't happen. So it would stay consistently in a sort of a line, but it would sway back and forth like a tree. So the nest was that it wouldn't disperse. The fact is, it would still lean in some sort of direction, which would provide a simon regarding the upcoming season. Arma, let's go back. Klapi mizrach hakol smech. When it's leaning towards mizrach, in which case the ruach maravis is blowing, everybody's okay, because ruach maravis was a well-balanced wind. Klapi marav, but if it's leaning towards the marav, in which case the mizrach is blowing, that's no good. It's drying wind. Hakol atzeven. Everybody was displeased. So we see Mizrach dries up, and Marav is perfect. Viraminu, of a brisa, which tells us the other way around. My Mizrach is loilam yofa. The Mizrach wind is perfect. Marav is loilam kosher. Marav is never good. So we have it the other way around. And the brisa continues. Ruach tzfoinis, the tzofen wind, is good, but it depends for what. Yofa lechitin b'shoa shiviu shlish. It's perfect for growing wheat when they've already arrived at a third of their growth. At that point, the ruach tzfoinis enables further growth and is beneficial to that wheat. But it's harmful for the to the olives bizman shehin choytin, when they already reached the stage of chanata, already began to grow and to bud. So the tzfoinis is good for the chitin. Ruach droimis, on the other hand, is kosher lechitin. It's detrimental for the wheat once they've arrived at the third of their growth. But it's good for the olives. So again, tzofen is good for the wheat, and dorim is good for the olives. I'll give you a simon to remember which is which. Some say it's mazrutra. If you want to have a good simon for this, remember that shulchan bedorim u'menorah b'tzofen. The shulchan was positioned on the tzofen of the heichel. Menorah was in Dara. Now, what was placed on the Shulchan? Lechem Panim, which was grain material, chitin, which tells you that the Ruach Tzfoinis was good for the chitin. Menorah was placed by Darim. What was the menorah used for? To burn the olive oil, Zeisim. So Zeisim benefit from the Ruach Dorims. High Marbe the day, high Marbe the day. The Ruach Tzfoinis Marbe nourishes and enhances the day, the grain which is connected to tzofen, because the shulchan had grain and was tzofen, v'aymar the day, and the ruach d'roimus allows for proper growth of its thing. What's the thing that's connected to darim? That's the zeisim placed on the menorah, which was on darim. Some explain it a bit further, that the menorah and the shulchan had a spiritual effect, had a bracha effect, a corresponding effect on those things which they serve, which was put on the shulchan and the menorah. So the shulchan, since it contained lechem upon him, it created a bracha on grain coming from the tzofen, because the shulchan was b'tzofen, and the menorah on which they burnt the olive oil, it reached out to the olives, it spread bracha to the olives. And that's why the ruach coming from that side, the Menorah side, the Dharam side, was beneficial for the Zeis. In any case, what pertains to us is, we have a stira. Earlier we said, Mizrach wind is no good, it dries things up and brings about famine. Marav is perfectly fine and balanced. Then we see just the other way around. Mizrach is great, Marav is no good. Lakash, the answer is, depends where you're holding. Depends regarding which place of the world. Halon valahu. This price here that said that Mizrach is good because it dries things up, it applies to us. Us meaning the Bnei Bavel, who in this geographic location were surrounded with waters and moisture, in which case we can use a little dryness. That's actually beneficial. Whereas the Maravis, which brought about moisture, that wasn't good for us, Ibn Abov. Bnei Yisrael, halahu. The early discussion was pertaining to Ibn Yisrael, which was a land situated upon mountains and valleys, so it was a wind-blown area. And over there, too much dryness dries things up. So Mizrach was harmful, and Marav was beneficial. Hadron Loch Shiva Sama. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. We started with the Yisrael who ailed the regal, experienced a great nace, although they were standing cramped. When it came time for Shtachavoya, they had plenty of space, and Rashi points out that they needed that space so that they could have some confidential space for the vidui that they wanted to say. Then we proceeded to the Nisan that occurred in Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, and we concluded as follows. We have 10 Nisan which were visible, which were known to all, Nisi de Beroi, and also they were repetitive Nisan. They had a Dvar Chiddush to them, constantly happening, and it created Chiddush and excitement. What were they? An Isha would not miscarry from the Basar, the Basar wouldn't spoil, a Zvuv would not seen there, carry would not occur, they would bow with plenty of space, the Omer Shtelechem Lechampanah would never nifsal, the rains would not put out the fire in the Mizbeach, nor would the winds sway and disperse the Ashen Maracha. The various islands were swallowed in the ground of the Azura, and the Lechampanim remained fresh, warm, and steaming throughout the week. And in fact, they displayed that to all of Israel to see their dearness to Hashem, their warmth and close relationship with Hashem. We learned that there were several additional Nisim as well. There was the Makim Aroim, Makim Kruvim, which did not take up any space. And there were these Perish Zov, produced in the Beis HaMikdash. But these were constant Nisim, Nisim Kvuim, although Nisim were not listed in the previous list of 10 Nisim. We have two Nisim that occurred in Yerushalayim, and Nachash and Akrav would never inflict harm. And there was Brach in Yerushalayim. Nobody would ever complain. Loi Amar Tzali HaMakim, Sha'olin, B'Yerushalayim. We learned about the various fires that were present in the Mizbeach. There was the Eish Min HaShemayim, a spiritual fire which came down, which was present and appeared like a lion during the first Beis HaMikdash, which was present and appeared like a kelev in the second Beis HaMikdash. That Eish would never produce any fire, any smoke. It was the other fire, Min HaHedyot, which had to be added, and that produced Asham. However, the Gemara tells us that the Eish on the Mizbeach had the ability to burn through moist as it did dry. The Gemara concluded that the Asham would stay straight and consistent, but sometimes would sway back and forth depending on the winds. In fact, that was used as an indicator as to the rain season for the upcoming winter. Hatzlacha Rabbah, and kol tov to you.